This episode is sponsored by Hume Health. You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne. We're back a little sooner than expected perhaps, but having already sold a player this summer, Newcastle United have now bought one as well. My name's Taylor Payne and I'm joined by Chris Woff and Georges Coquin for a little emergency pod. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in and I've got to talk to you two again.
I thought you were going to announce me as the new signing for Newcastle. Just the way that you sort of started it, I thought you were just going to suddenly say... in which case it would be even more disastrous this summer than last year already.
I would definitely be cancelling my membership, put it that way, if you were the new signing. Yeah. How are you, George?
Yeah, thank you for the French inflection. That was topical. Oui, oui. You know, topical. Yeah, baguettes.
So just one headline today, Erwin Jouan signs from French Ligue 2 side, George?
Reims.
Nice, or Reims if you're an uncultured oaf like me. he's a keeper, Chris, and hopefully he's a keeper as well.
Ah, see what you've done there.
Nah, do you like that?
Clever, that.
So yes, Newcastle United's first signing of the summer is a goalkeeper. He is 20 years of age, and Newcastle are paying... a substantial fee from it was reported that it was going to be initial €25 million in France last week. It had been suggested that deal had been struck on Friday and then there'd be sort of €3.5 million in add-ons. We understand it to be about £18.5 million, which is still a lot of money, and then there are add-ons beyond that as well. And really what Newcastle are doing is they are paying for potential. It's not entirely beyond the realms of possibility that Jouan would start the season in goal for Newcastle, but I think that's highly unlikely. The idea is that he will be challenging for number one, but probably second choice for the next year or two, if not slightly longer, because Newcastle would like a senior goalkeeper, be that Nick Pope or somebody else. Will come on that in a little while. But basically, Newcastle have moved to sign Jouan because they think that he is a very exciting prospect. They think he can be one of the best goalkeepers in Europe. Real Madrid were among the other clubs who were looking at him, and they also looked at last summer when there was a lot of movement goalkeeper wise. Obviously we know they went for James Trafford, but you look at other goalkeepers who moved. Sunderland signed a very good young goalkeeper, Manchester United signed Lammens, and basically Newcastle look at it and see that in the medium term, are there going to be these exciting young goalkeepers available? There aren't many now who aren't already at a club, and they're probably going to stay at those clubs for a little bit, so they wanted to make sure they didn't miss out on Zhao, and so they've moved to bring him in. So it's not necessarily one for the absolute immediate term, but it also shows that they are thinking in the medium to longer term and having what they see as it's the future very best players, rather than signing the best players now, the players who can be in the future.
It's not a trivial sum of money, that, though, is it? So obviously, you know, it's important that that we get those numbers right, and those numbers that kind of originally came out from France felt very, very high. I mean, It does make him the second most expensive goalkeeper in Newcastle United's history. And let's just all hope that his career at St. James's Park, you know, absolutely follows the trajectory of number one on that list. The odious fuck it.
Odious.
Oh, hang on. Well, that's his name, isn't it? I was so excited about my joke that I called him odious.
Odysseus.
I mean, it has been an odious transfer from Newcastle United's perspective. I've been thinking about this recently because I've been writing about Elliot Anderson and speaking to people at the Newcastle United Academy, who, of course, were absolutely instrumental in Elliot's rise to become the player he is now. But yes, revisiting that transfer when he leaves for £35 million, which obviously, looking back now, does not feel like a wonderful deal, but bearing in mind that 20 million of that on paper was Odysseus Flakodimos, who of course has not gone on to have a storied career at Newcastle United. But anyway, yeah, it's forgive the joke and forgive the odious reference. That wasn't meant personally towards Flakodimos. But it's not a trivial amount of money. So it's not like spending a small sum on a kid and hoping it comes good. I mean, they are making an investment on somebody here that they obviously think and hope will be a good keeper for a long time to come.
He's highly rated, Chris, isn't he? Could this be seen as a bit of a coup? I'm kind of thinking along the lines of the Lewis Hall and the Tino Livramento transfers and thinking, you know, they were a lot of money at the time, but they came good. It is a risk, isn't it, as George says, but it could be a great move.
It is a risk, but it's one that we won't know really whether it's paid off probably for a matter of years, unless he does suddenly have a dramatic, really impressive pre-season. But it will be a huge step up. He hasn't played at a higher senior level than the second division of the French pyramid. He's capped at France from under 16 through to under 21 level. He's seen as a very, very good goalkeeper. I think there was even talk that he may have made the French World Cup squad, but he was selected, and a more experienced under 21 goalkeeper was selected ahead of him. So yes, I think it is a coup, or Newcastle see it as a coup, but it's someone who they need to work at and need to develop. But this is the sort of signing they want to make moving forward, that if they can't afford to bring in the absolute proven top level players right now, then what they have to do is they have to bring in the players who they identify as being those in 3 or 4 or 5 years time. And perhaps that requires them for now to pay a little bit above what you would ideally like to, because they haven't been able to show that yet in the way that maybe Brighton have. They've had this with Zadok Yohana, who chose to go there, the 18-year-old winger chose to go there ahead of Newcastle, and maybe that's because of the pathway he sees at Brighton. Newcastle are still developing that. They have some examples to show for it, but for someone of Jarwin's example, I think it will take a bit longer. Lewis Hall was still seen as a first-team player, albeit not absolutely established at that stage, and Livramento was expected to play, just maybe not as much as he did that stage, whereas Jarwin, I think that there is the prospect that outside of earlier rounds of cup competitions, you may not see him play for Newcastle next season, but they believe that in future seasons beyond that, he could be a very, very good goalkeeper indeed.
I mean, we have to make the point that it's an absolutely massive step up from where he is in Ligue 2, not having played a huge amount of games, to then the Premier League and, you know, the competitions that Newcastle are in. But yeah, absolutely, as Chris says, there is this, I mean, I don't want to say, you know, back to what they were doing immediately post takeover, because they've got a lot, you know, they've got a lot more systems in place now. They've got a much bigger data set to choose from. And of course, unlike in those early days post takeover, they do actually have a sporting director, and, you know, they've got a lot more scouts and that sort of stuff around. But it is back to that philosophy, if that's the right word, of looking at young players and getting to them before the very, very biggest clubs get to them. That's what they did with Bruno. That's what they did with people like Botman, to a certain extent with Isak as well. You know, certainly those players were a lot more established at a higher level than this guy is. But Newcastle were able to get in before the very biggest clubs were ready to do that. And it paid dividends for them. You know, as I say, for Joao, you know, he's not an established first team regular at a team playing at the top level, and all of those other players were. So it's not quite the same as that, but it is, you know, it follows a similar pathway.
There's some really interesting and detailed analysis from Matt Podrovsky on The Athletic as well. So if you want to know a bit more about the kind of goalkeeper Zhaoen is and find out a little bit more about his style, check that out. Chris, you've been talking to his former coach as well.
Yes, so Christophe Lolichon, who... some may recognise the name because he was at Chelsea for a long period of time as their goalkeeper coach under Jose Mourinho, Carlo Ancelotti, Gus Hiddink, various other coaches, and he then became their scout for goalkeeping, and he then was, or he remains, goalkeeper coach at Dunkirk, where Demba Ba is involved, but that is where Zhaoen spent a season on loan in 2024-25. Lolichon remains in contact with him in his camp. He's followed him closely. And yeah, it was good to get some insight into the sort of goalkeeper and person that Zhaoen is and why Lolichon believes that the move to Newcastle, which he recommended once he heard that it was possibly recommended to his camp that he should pursue, why he thinks that it could be a very good match moving forward.
Yes,
Erwin Zhaoen.
He played for us... not this season, but the season before. He was on loan from Stade de Reims. And he started like number one with us. He lost his first position because I took, on the same time, I took an experienced goalkeeper from Spain. It was a very good challenge between them. And they went learn a lot from this experience.
And at the time, he must have only been sort of 18 or 19, and you say
yes,
he took a lot from the experience. What sort of how mature or otherwise was he when he came in as both as a player and a person, really?
When he came here, he played only fifth division game in Reims. Okay, so because you know when I don't know how I can say that, but Reims wanted to put him on loan, but only in Dunkirk because they wanted to for when he can work with me. So I appreciate the confidence they gave. We took Ewen to develop him and also, of course, to be performant with us, because League 2 is League 2, is a professional division, so we need performant players. And I like to prepare goalkeeper, young goalkeeper. I did it a lot of time in my career, so I like his morphology, I like a lot of things, I like the guy, because he's a very good guy, very intelligent guy, very clever. So it was a real pleasure to work with Ewen. It was not easy for him because he lost his first position after 9 games. So the other keeper, Spanish goalkeeper, 30 years old. He was a little bit educated in Barcelona when he was young, so very good with the feet. And Ewen learned a lot observing the ability of the Spanish guy. You understand what I mean?
Yes. No, I understand it a lot. So how would you describe him as a goalkeeper then? What are his strong traits? Who would you maybe sort of compare him to stylistically? What sort of a goalkeeper is he?
First of all, he has a top morphology. He's 2 meters, he's quick, explosive. So he's always difficult to compare to goalkeepers. But I remember when I observed the first time Thibaut Courtois, when he played for Genk, there is some similarities. There is a lot of things to do with him, of course, technically, tactically. I have to insist about the high positioning, to control the depth, to be very proactive. But he wanted to learn. It's very important. It's very, very important when you work with a guy. If he's ready to learn, if he wants to learn, it's easier, of course. Okay, so he's a guy who wants to understand the play. So we insist a lot with a video session to to read the game very good. So he was very, very interested by that.
When you say that the other goalkeeper was good with his feet and that he was keen to learn from that, how has he developed in that regard? Has he improved in those areas? Yeah. What did you see the big development in him during your time with him and I suppose subsequently?
For me, the most important thing for the keeper is the ability to read the game. From this idea, you can improve a lot about your positioning, your communication, your decision-making, and the execution of the decision. Okay? So, for me, the goalkeeper coach is not here, is not only with the goalkeeper to kick the ball and to do, I don't like... My session is a I think is an English word, so cognitive session.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
Okay. So I hate the mechanic session, robotic session. I hate it. So always I try to put the goalkeeper in the realistic situation to facilitate to give opportunity for the keepers to understand the game, to understand the situation, to scan the situation, and to get the best positioning, the best decision, the best execution. So at the beginning, Ewen was not always in this mood. So we work a lot about it, and I have to say the Spanish goalkeeper helped me a lot on this way. And when Ewen lost his number one position, he was a little frustrated, but I told him, observe the name of the Spanish goalkeeper is Adrian Ortola. I said to Ewen, observe Adrian, try to learn from him. There is a lot of things you can take, okay, and the benefit could be huge, very huge. And after the frustration period, Ewen, after 2 weeks, start to observe. We spoke a lot with Adrian. We make a lot of video analysis during the training because we had a very good coach at this time, Luis Castro, a Portuguese guy. And all the collective sessions, the goalkeeper, the group needs the goalkeeper, so I was with the keeper, of course, and we can insist during the collective training about all the points we trained before. So it was fantastic season for the goalkeepers, for the goalkeeper coach also. And when he came back to Reims, he was more mature. He understood much better the play. And I think the next step was to go outside, and Newcastle, I think, is a very good choice.
And did you see much of him last season once he had returned? Because obviously it's a lot of his appearances across the course of last season, I think, which has drawn a lot of the excitement. Have you kept close eye on him?
Yes, of course, because I have a good relationship with Reims goalkeeper coach. I have a good relationship with the agent of Ewen. I have a good relationship with the family also, because I like to understand better your goalkeeper. It's very important to know the context, the environment. Okay, so they ask me about the possible choice for the career, etc., etc. And when they explain me the interest of Newcastle, I said, I think it's a good moment for Newcastle to prospect and to try to find the goalkeeper for the future. They explained me when they visited the club, the structure of the goalkeeping department. And for me, it was very consistent, very consistent. So I said, okay, I think it's a good idea, because English football is a top... is a top competition, Premier League is a top competition, but it's not I don't think he's ready now to play in Premier League, of course. He needs to learn because the quality of the player is different, because the intensity is different, because the club is a huge club in England. So I think Newcastle prepare a very good context for him to learn and to, I hope, for him. And to become the next number one, but not now. Not now, in maybe 2 years or 3 years.
And just finally on that, you obviously worked at Chelsea for a long period of time. You worked with a lot of goalkeepers. You know the Premier League very well. Stylistically, mm-hmm. as a goalkeeper, do you think he has, I suppose, given that you said that you thought that Newcastle was a good move for him, do you think that he can be a success in the Premier League? Do you think he has all the attributes to be a success?
Yes, he has the potential to become a Premier League goalkeeper. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. It's an Italian guy. It's a very good professional, and the potential is huge. I said on the beginning of our conversation, when I observed him before to take him on loan. I saw a lot of good things, and he played only with the Reims reserve team, but I saw a lot of good things. I said, well, okay, we can take him, and I also we can start with him in League 2 in France. And the beginning was a little bit difficult, huh? But you know, when you start with a young goalkeeper, it's a little risk, of course. So we have to accept this risk, because this risk, this kind of risk is to, we have to manage this risk, because we know the potential can give a very good opportunity to be performant. Yes, I have not a big doubt about his potential to become a very good Premier League goalkeeper.
I just want to say as well, you mentioned Dunkirk. Zhaouen was in goal for most of that season. He actually took them to the semi-final of the Cup, and he scored the winning penalty in a penalty shootout, which I believe was in the quarter-final. I'm not entirely sure, but the man takes a penalty kick. Get him up there. Get him taking them.
Well, Anthony Gordon's not there anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
More goalkeepers as penalty takers. Yeah.
Get him on corners as well. Everything.
Yeah, I like that.
Did he twat it? Ollie is asking. He did twat it right in the corner, Ollie. It was beautiful. Are we expecting any more transfer activity in this particular position then, Chris?
Potentially, is what I'd say. What I've consistently said on this podcast and I've written about is that it looks like Newcastle are going to... Well, they are doing a big restructuring of the goalkeeper department this summer already. Aaron Ramsdale has gone back to Southampton. Newcastle did not take up the option to sign him permanently. John Ruddy is left as the third choice goalkeeper, and Odysseas Vlachodimos is still on the books, but Newcastle would like to move him on. Whether they can do that financially, as in move him out permanently, or have to send him out on loan again, remains to be seen. Nick Pope's future is up in the air, and I think is basically dependent upon whether Newcastle can sign another senior keeper. The way that it's been explained to Zhaouen, and the way that those inside Newcastle see it, is that he will be number two / compete to be number one, but that he needs a senior goalkeeper to be doing that with. Now, ideally, given that I think generally there has been a loss of confidence in exactly what Nick Pope can bring, and I want to preface this by saying that I've seen a lot of negative stuff about Nick Pope recently, and I get it, but actually for 3 or 4 years he was an exceptional goalkeeper for Newcastle. I think he was a very good deal that they did when they signed him from Burnley, but that confidence seems to have slipped. I think you can feel it within St James's Park. I think ideally there will be a different goalkeeper who starts next season in goal for Newcastle. Zhaouen probably isn't ready for that, so if Newcastle can't actually do a deal for a senior goalkeeper, then Pope would have to stay. Otherwise, he's been linked with Ipswich, he's been linked with Leeds. There hasn't been any direct contact, I don't think, yet with Newcastle in that regard. And that will they will only be able to permit Nick Pope to go if someone else arrives. Now, given the investment they've already made in Zhaouen, and given what else they need to do this summer, do they have the funds to sign a senior goalkeeper? And what sort of senior goalkeeper would it actually be? Can you sign someone on loan? I think they are looking at loans generally this summer more than elsewhere, but would you do that in goal? And but also, so then what sort of age goalkeeper are you signing? Who would it be? A James Trafford, who we obviously know they've liked longer term, but if you sign James Trafford and you have Xhaun as well, there's not that much of a difference in age between the two of them. So
yeah,
it will be fascinating to see exactly what profile of goalkeeper they do go for if they are able to sign another senior shot stopper.
Yeah, and it's just worth sort of reiterating this point here that there is a bit of pigeons coming home to roost for Newcastle. And, you know, if you've gone through whatever it is, four windows out of five and not strengthened your first team, and the fifth one, which was the exception, saw a lot of money spent, yeah, and arguably still didn't strengthen the first team, this is the situation you can find yourself in, where Newcastle have big holes across the pitch, where it's not just one player that they need in one position, but more than that. And, you know, I've said it on the pod before, 2 years ago, they thought they had a deal in place for James Trafford. The idea at that point was that Trafford would be second to Nick Pope, but Nick Pope brings him on, you know, he plays in cup games, and sort of probably by the end of that season, Trafford would have been number one at Newcastle, and there was a succession planning. Taylor, you mentioned those players like Livramento and Lewis Hall, and that was absolutely the big idea in that summer when they arrived. Livramento had Trippier in front of him, an exceptional player. Lewis Hall had Dan Byrne in front of him, you know, was playing very well at left back at that point. And Lewis Hall's example, it took him a long time to establish himself, but, you know, but look at him now. That was the forward planning that Newcastle had at that time, and they've not had that. I mean, and, you know, financially there's been a big, big issue, and maybe they did too much in those early days because it's left them with a financial black hole. But this is the problem you get to if your trading is either desperate, or you're not selling enough, or you're unable to buy. And so they're having to play catch up. I mean, it would be I love Nick Pope. I love what he's done to the team. Hopefully he can come good again if he stays.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very suboptimal position to be in when really they were hoping to do this a couple of years ago.
Are there any other number ones targeted at the minute, Chris? Any other names in the ether?
Well, Newcastle like Brighton's bought Verbruggen. They have done for a while, but again, he's only 23. James Trafford is only 23. He's been the one who they've identified for a long period of time. Then you have Robin Risser, at Lens. I don't know exactly how you say it, because it doesn't seem to be immediately strike me as a French name, but he is French, and so I don't know exactly how you say it. But he's only 21. So again, when I talk about profile of goalkeeper, it would seem strange in some ways to have invested so much in Xhaun and then have a goalkeeper who's only 1, 2, 3 years older than him. So
yeah.
That's who we know they've liked long term, or certainly have watched over the course of the last 12 months, or a lot longer in the case of both Verbruggen and Trafford. But where else they go, I'm not entirely sure, and I'll be fascinated to see. And I think they are still having that sort of debate internally as to who is available, who could be available, what can they actually do, how do finances work, do they need to sell somebody else before they could bring in somebody. And so, yeah, it remains a question mark really above this. It feels like Newcastle have done very well to sort out, or I believe they've sorted out, the future, but the here and now of the goalkeeper situation, it doesn't feel like what was a big issue across the whole of 2025-26 has suddenly been resolved by Irvin Jowen signing this. It still feels like actually there's a lot hanging over that, and it'll be very interesting to see how Newcastle deal with it.
I think we've set ourselves quite a difficult and high bar with trying to go for full-on French pronunciation for all of these names.
Not gonna last,
and
is it?
Like Taylor, you started it at the top of the show by Georges Colquhoun, and Chris has tripped himself up a bit there. And like, I mean, Ewan Dewin is surely better. And
are
you
and
Dewin
from Cramlington? Oh yeah,
I. Yeah, Ewan Dewin. Yeah, is that not?
I used to work with my father on the rigs.
Right.
Ewan Dewin.
Right. Well, that's Ewan Dewin. Right.
Excellent.
Glad you got that sorted.
That's about it for today as well. Thanks for listening. And just as we've done today, we're going to try and be a bit more reactive if there's any transfer business. But the plan is now to have a couple of days off. Extra time subscribers will be getting... I said extra time there. That's not our thing.
Extra time subscribers will be getting our exclusive interview.
Extra Tyne subscribers will be getting our exclusive interview with Newcastle centre-half Charlotte Potts as she retires from football. Go to podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm to get access to that, as well as our back catalogue of focus documentaries, Q&As, and all of the other extra loveliness as well. But before we go, we should maybe quickly say congratulations to Matt Ritchie as well, the new technical director at AFC Bournemouth. That's good news, George, isn't it?
Yeah, great news. Congratulations to him, yeah, and I hope he makes a success of it. I mean, he probably doesn't want to think about sort of kicking corner flags in that. I wonder what he'll...
His own teammates up the arse, isn't it, pencils. As well?
Well, and his own teammates up the arse, yeah. You wouldn't want to be his laptop, would you?
Well, can you imagine being summoned to a meeting with Matt Ritchie? I mean, how terrifying that would be.
Just like to have a quiet word,
yeah,
with you.
Gum shield, flak jacket, yeah, the whole lot. Absolutely.
But his bark is a lot worse than his bite. He is a truly great fella, and yeah, very excited to see where his career goes at a great club, which of course he knows very well. Eddie Howe knows very well.
Absolutely. Good luck to him at Bournemouth. Right then, chaps. Thank you very much for your time. Goodbye, George.
So long, farewell. Well, maybe it should just be au revoir, Monsieur Taylor,
and ta-ta to you as well, Chris Wolf.
A bientôt.
Good. Lovely stuff. Thanks from everybody at Pod on the Tyne. Thank you for listening. We'll speak to you again very, very soon. Take care. Goodbye. George, you can do the pronunciation. I'm going to hand it to you.
So what am I doing?
Just say the name of the club.
All right. Reims.